Welcome back for part two of our talk with Renee Rodman. We published part one yesterday, Monday, January the 6th. You will not want to miss it. Now let's pick the discussion back up with Renee.
Your heroes. They are simply some of the best around. When I think of the Kate Daniels series, Kate doesn't come to my mind first. Curran does. Mm-hmm. And you are the one responsible for that. He sounds so absolutely scrumptious. If I had been merely reading in print format rather than listening, the voice playing in my head would have been sorely lacking compared to your performance of his character. So how do you go about performing your leading men?
Well, first of all, Leah, thank you very much. That I know how many audiobooks you listen to, and that means it touches me more than you know. Boy, I think it's really simple. I create men in the circumstances the author gives me that I would want, that I want pursuing me, or that I think would be pretty fantastic. Now, I happen to have that now, but I just try to create men that I would want, you know, that I would want chasing me or pursuing or vice versa. And I think men and let me just say to you that I love the differences between men and women. I celebrate them. I think men are fantastic creatures. I think women are fantastic creatures too. But since I'm a woman, I watch the way their brains work. They're so linear and while it can drive us crazy, I wouldn't want it any other way because they're just these MacGyvers at heart, you know, for the most part. And I think I do not know, I'll watch John, my fiance, and I'll see how he'll study something for a second and then he'll fix something in a way that I never would dream. He'll run to the store and goes, I'll be right back. And he'll come back with a vice grip and some glue and boom, the world is great again. And so I try to also bring in what I love about men and how they're different. You know, they're not, for the most part, as emotional as we are. They don't, and I don't mean just technique-wise in terms of they don't have as much inflection in their voices, but they just want to get the job done, you know?
Perfect.
And I think that's why so many women write their men Southern. There's something about Southern men that, now Curran is not Southern, but if he's close, cause, you know, and I think Hardy was that way in Blue Eyed Devil, but they just have this sense of, can we just cut to the chase?
I love it.
And I get excited, like, yes, we can cut to the chase, you know, so.
Well, I know you record in your own studio with an engineer. Can you explain why you choose to work with an engineer? I know so many narrators these days work on their own.
Well, I certainly started out working when I wasn't recording in a publisher's studio in the beginning. I was working on my own. And that is really hard work. I just noticed, well, two things occurred. Number one, I had so much fun when I would go to the publisher studios. Yes, they had a director, and I loved having a director. It was like you just got to rest in somebody else's arms and know that there was somebody that had your back in a way. But I was a pretty good narrator, and I think I was a pretty good engineer. And I really think that narrators who work at home really should know how the engineering process works because it allows them to bring that technique into the studio behind the mic so it makes the process flow much smoother. But I started to get busier and busier and I just wasn't having any fun doing my own engineering. Mm-hmm. And I sat down, the business side of me sat down and I added up what I could earn, how long it took me to record the novel on my own, doing my own engineering, how long it took with an engineer. And then I added up what I would pay an engineer and what I would earn on a book. And I realized I could do 2 to 4 books more a month if I brought in an engineer. And I started to look at that as in my business as a whole, in terms of farming out certain elements of the work. And, you know, I can talk more about that if you're interested. But when I brought in an engineer, not only was a second set of eyes looking at the script, but I turned in a much cleaner product. And I also, I felt like the publishers really appreciated that. And I could be on time with everything. You know, I've done a pretty tight schedule in terms of 8 to 5. And I know not all the narrators work that long, but my engineer shows up at 7:50. We're on the mic by 8. Mm-hmm. I take a break at 10, a 15, 20 minute break at 10. We have 1 hour lunch. We take another small break at 3 o'clock. And I just found I was much more efficient. I didn't allow myself, when I would work on my own, I would get up and be easily distracted. But when you're paying an engineer to be there, boy, you're on it.
Yeah.
You know, you make sure that you're as efficient, which I think just made me a better business person on this side, which allowed me, like I said, to turn in a better product, which allowed me to command a certain rate. And also the publishers knew they could count on me for good sound, good quality, and the least amount of mistakes is possible.
Well, I think my next question leads into that. I believe you use a punch-in method rather than a pickup method when making corrections to your recordings. I know Nick Bolton, he is the narrator of Laura Kinzel's titles. He mentioned using this same method when we talked with him this past October. Can you explain to our listeners the difference between the two?
Well, the punch-in method is when I'm narrating and I make a mistake. So if I say, watch spot run across the feet instead of watch spot run across the street. So the punch-in method is the engineer, when I make a mistake, I don't even have to speak. He just backs the tape up and I hear the end of the last sentence and then I just punch in with the new sentence, watch spot run across the street. And you have to be careful. There's technique involved because if you're taking huge breaths at the end of every sentence, you have to make sure that that matches, or you have to learn how to breathe through your words so that you're not reading every sentence after the period going, you know, and then starting up again. So that's the punch-in method. The other method is where if you make a mistake, watch spot run across the feet, watch spot run across the street, you just stop and start again. That is a much more involved process in the post-production side. So then another end editor has to sit and go and take all those out. You know, you may have done 4 or 5 false starts. They have to remove all those. And time is money. And that became a more expensive way to do things. So the publishers, I believe, would now much more prefer we provide a cleaner punch-in method. So then they're only editing, if they need to, in between those sentences. And when I use my engineer, I may make a mistake in terms of what word, et cetera, but they very rarely have to do much cleanup in between those sentences.
Okay.
That makes sense. But there is also what I call them pups, pickups. Where if I have made a mistake, the publisher will send me a list, an MP3 I request that they always send me an MP3 of the mistake so that when I do have to correct it, I try to sound exactly the same in the same emotional state. Some people will do pickups without hearing where they were before. They'll just see the sentence and read it again, and that doesn't match very well. So I always request, let me hear the old one, and then I'll play the two back. And my goal is to make it sound, be in the exact same amount of time, make it sound exactly the same. And it's, you know, if you get a cold, you've got a lot of things to work through sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually have introduced a what would you call it, Brenda, production grade at times. Wow. When the narrator's great, the story's great, but the production, it keeps on snapping you out of the book.
Right.
And so that's why
and
we
a lot of mouth
noises.
That. That's interesting. That's interesting because one of the things I work diligently on is not only having great sound, really great sound, but I'm ridiculous when it comes to seamlessness. If it doesn't yes. sound seamless, or I don't, there are certain publishers I know I can count on being really good about, sometimes if I'm getting behind, you know, and I leave in a little bit of a breath from one sentence to the next, I can count on a certain publisher or two, I know they're going to take that out. And I can rest in that. But for the most part, we almost always try to give almost a completed project outside of a quality control listen. So thanks for saying that.
We really notice it. How about prepping your books? What in particular do you feel is necessary?
When I prep a script, I take a lot of notes. And to be honest, I'm going to share a secret with you. I actually hire people now to help me prep the scripts. Now, that's not to say I don't read the script. I'm one of the few narrators who still likes to work from when I actually in the booth. I like to work from a manuscript. And so many of my fellow narrators are so good and green and they use their iPad. But for me, I'm just not able to go there yet. And I have people so that I can record more books. They actually go through and they code the script for me. So at the beginning of every line, they write, you know, C for Curran, for example, K for Kate. And they, if an emotion is described, but it appears after the line, I have them highlight that in highlighter. And my eye can catch that as I'm reading down the page. I can look down and I realize that next line is going to be said sobbing or she whispered, you know.
Oh.
So I have them highlight that emotion. And I think, oh, okay, this is coming up. Or they'll write on the left column, begins crying. Or, you know, tears begin, no tears fall, but so that we don't have to go back and pick it up. And so I have them go through and have them code the entire script. I have them make character sheets in which we list every character, their age, where they're from, every character description, characteristic that's given about them. And then I will, when I'm narrating the book, sometimes things will change and I'll add little notes in that character sheets. And then I also have them write a complete synopsis about the book. If it's a new book, I'll have a new series. I'll have them do it by chapter. And then I have them write out a character synopsis so that I have each character throughout the book. The beginning and middle, their journey. Now, again, I read the book ahead of time, but when we do series, and often we don't know when a book will be a series, I have this whole document to refer back to. Now, if I were to do all that, I wouldn't have time. When I'm cooking, I can do 4 to 6 books a month. I don't do that anymore. It's not good for my health. But I wouldn't be able to do that if I was doing all that work. So they write all that out, code it out, and I read all their synopsis, and here is something that a lot of narrators may disagree with or publishers may be uncomfortable with, but I read the whole book but the last couple chapters. I don't want to experience, by then I know everything, and I also know how the book ends. It's not as though I don't know how it ends, but in terms of living those moments, making it as real as possible, I prefer not to read those, and I want to discover it with the listener so that it's really fresh and honest in a way. That's not to say that other people who read the end aren't fresh and honest. It's just something I enjoy doing because if it's a scary book or I'll be getting tingles. It's the first time I'm getting those chills on my back and I kind of like that. So
that's fascinating. That's fascinating. And to know that they always end up being so well performed and you're experiencing the adventure right along with us. So Within the romance community, I believe you receive the most attention for your narration of Ilona Andrews' Kate Daniels series, even though it is categorized as urban fantasy. Brenda is a big fan of the series. In fact, she is the one who encouraged me to listen. She has written an overview of the series that we will be publishing this week. Can you tell our listeners a little about the setup of the Kate Daniels series and why you think it is so popular with romance listeners?
Well, I have to tell you, when I started the series, it never occurred to me it would be popular with romance listeners because I looked at it as an urban fantasy paranormal type novel. But of course it would be, because they've written this fantastic story between this, between Kate and Curran. But just backing up a little bit, the Kate Daniels series it's a world that has just suffered this magic apocalypse. And it's as though we've taken technology and pushed it to its outer limits. And now magic has come back with this big vengeance, and magic will come in. It comes in these waves and it's unannounced. Like, you'll be living your life. And when the magic wave hits, all of our technology stops. So our computers stop, telephones stop working, anything that has a technological end completely shuts down, which means then you got to ride a horse. You got, you know, in order, they have something called the Fey Lanterns come up, which are magic driven. That's how they light the streets. And our life becomes very, on a very basic level in terms of functioning, but there is a magic element to it. And it takes place in Atlanta, Georgia, in the future. And there are, the whole world takes place in future Atlanta. Kate is a mercenary. She has this sword that she wields. She loves her sword a little too much. And she's, you know, essentially a trained killer. But what I love about Kate is when she gets kicked down, she just kicks right back. She has a snappy attitude. She doesn't take any crap from anybody. And that's ultimately what attracts the head beast lord. You know, this is what attracts them to each other. Mm-hmm. And so the series is really, it's all these same characters for the most part, and this romance between Curran and Kate. And as it moves forward during their different trials of living in this world where magic and technology butt up against each other. But it's as though we're watching this couple fight the world together. And I think that's what makes it so attractive to romance listeners. Not only do they have their own challenges, him being half animal and her being a mercenary. And by the way, she has this magic blood in her that she has to keep hidden. So, you know, she's got her own challenges, her own personal challenges to deal with. But you have these two people in a world with all these other challenges in which they have to hold up order and order, and yet they still manage to come together. I think it's a fantastic romance between the two of them.
Well, I do too. We always wonder about a narrator's preparation for a series. Keeping the characters true from one book to the next has to require some planning ahead. When you began the Kate Daniels series, did you only have that first book? Or I know several were already in print at that time. Were you able to look at the first two or three?
If I remember, this was a long time ago. This was back in 2006. And I think it was probably one of my first books that I did within the first 6 months of my narration. I might have gotten the first two books together, or I knew that there was going to be a series, but I didn't know anything about it. And I didn't, if I had, I would have taken a lot better notes back then, knowing that it was going to last for years and that people, you know, characters would come back from the prior books. Mm-hmm. So as I've moved forward, I've tried to take better and better notes now, keep a category of all the different voices. I don't think any of us knew how far this series would go and how much it would, how much it would explore and how it would go back to old characters and bring them in. And so I have I go back to those first books all the time. Oh, I remember reading the first book. And again, I don't know if you want to record, but Mahon. I got to the end of the first book and somehow missed that it said he, like on page 400, it mentioned his Scottish accent.
Oh, no.
Oh. I had to go back and redo, you know, redo every one of his lines. You know, it was just, oh my gosh, every one of his lines we had to redo. Well, in this last book, in Gunmetal Magic, it talks about how she brings out her Southern accent when she needs it. And I was like, Ilona, what Southern accent? Never knew about the Southern accent, you know? And so we chose a line that she said, you know, we always wonder about narrators, you know, like something about that is sweet as can be, you know, like, where did that come from? But anyway.
Well, I must admit that I listened to the Kate Daniels series to hear your performance. I had read so many wonderful things about your narration of this series. And although urban fantasy is rarely my choice for listening, I listened in absolute awe of your narration. And you also completely captured me with your performance of another Ilona Andrews series, The Edge. Those books follow what I consider to be a true romance formula. Can you tell our listeners how the Edge series differs from the Kate Daniels series?
Well, I think what Ilona and Gordon have done with the Edge series, I agree with you, Leah, that it does reach into a more romance genre, because it deals with... each book deals with a different couple. So it's that romance formula with a man and a woman and their journey to finding true love. But what's really fantastic and new is that they've created an other world in which it occurs in. And this world is called The Edge. And I love, when I first read her first Edge book, I just loved the world she created. There's this world of the broken, in which that's where people who, you know, shop at Walmart and magic is a fairy tale. And then on the other side, there is this world called the weird, in which it's this blue blood aristocratic changelings. They roam around and have their lives. And then there is in between. And I feel like somehow that there's a metaphor for life in there, but I haven't quite figured out what it is. But this edge, which lives on the edge of both of these worlds, is where these folks come from, that is the basis for a lot of her romance and how they use both of these worlds to get what they need in life and find the love and the journeys that they travel through.
Well, now to change directions, I'd like to ask you about your company, Too Little Time. In addition to your passion for narrating audiobooks, you have a passion to help others learn through narration. What can you share with us about your company and its mission?
When I started narrating audiobooks, actually about 3 years into it, I realized that the reason I had such a passion for radio dramas and playing with the tape recorder, telling stories into the tape recorder, and you know, listening to audiobooks, is because I wasn't the greatest reader. I am an audible learner. And when I was in school, and if a teacher told us a story, it stuck with me. If I remember in, I think sixth or seventh grade, we'd have this story time in which the teacher would read us a book. And she read us, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I could not wait for that hour every day in school. And then I realized it's because I don't absorb as much when I'm just reading. I absorb it when I hear it or it's said out loud. And I don't think I'm the only one. And so I started to recognize that not everybody learns the same way. And I was approached with an opportunity, which I jumped at, in which I think I'm the only company in the U.S. that's doing this, where we're taking full college curriculum textbooks and putting them into audiobook format. So that, and this is particularly important for online colleges, because those students aren't going to a classroom to sit and listen to a teacher talk. And I think the wave of the future is more and more online. No bricks and mortar, it's less expensive. Mm-hmm. People have such full lives that they're, you know, that this way they can go to school, get their education, their higher education, while, you know, living their lives. But they're not getting the benefit of seeing, hearing, being in a classroom in which they can absorb a lot of this information. And for a good portion of the population, I believe that they're audible learners as well. So we are taking full textbooks, and this college approached me and they said, let's try it out. And it's been one of the highest rated elements of this online college is that they can go in and they can get their textbook, but they also can download it right to their iPod. And while they're in the car or at the gym, they can hear it. And then they can go back to the text version for support, you know, in graphs and for tests and things like that. But I feel very passionately that this is really not only the wave of the future, but it's really helpful to people who are otherwise going to miss a lot of great information and even higher education because they're not getting that audible element to their learning. So it's exciting to be able to be a part of that.
Oh, I can imagine. I think of how I learn, and although I think that I learn better by reading, I actually think I learn best when I can listen and take notes if I feel like I need them, and that would certainly allow you to do that.
Right. You know, the first time I read the very first Ilona Andrews book, was that Magic Slays? Bites, thank you. When I very first read it, because I was prepping the book, they have a lot of details in their books. And when I was just reading it, I was overwhelmed. And I thought, oh, how am I going to keep all this straight? I was trying to keep the story straight. This was before I had help, you know, writing out the beginning. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I have people help me prep as well. Because when I read it, I was having trouble grasping every single detail to make sense in my head so that the picture formed in my head. But when I read it out loud, I finished that book and I was like, that was amazing. Every detail makes sense. These writers are not just writing for sake of creating just these details for no purpose. Everything led to something else. It was like this perfect story. And had I not read it out loud, I would not have been as attached to these books. You know, I know what to expect now, so I know how to read those details, mm-hmm. but it still escapes me until I'm actually in the book. I'm mm-hmm. in it. So
understand entirely. Okay. Well, before you leave us today, do you have any new or upcoming projects you want to share with us? And it can be any genre. It doesn't just need to be romance.
Well, I just finished a very moving yet sassy in a way, you know, smart, sassy memoir by a woman named Helen Pepe. It's called Pigs Can't Swim. It was quite a journey. It's a pretty intense piece. So I just finished that. I think that'll come out in the first quarter or so of next year. And I'm very excited because one of the novel authors I've always wanted to do. In fact, she was the very first book I was offered, and I couldn't do it because I was filming a soap opera in New York, but it was Nora Roberts. And I've always enjoyed reading her work. And so I have a Nora Roberts novel upcoming. I think it's a backlist, but it's called Endings and Beginnings. So I'm going to be narrating that I think at the end of January. So that's for Brilliance Audio. I'm really excited about that. I've had such good fortune in doing everything from, you know, Danielle Steele, Catherine Coulter, Deborah Kuntz, Marina Adair, all these great romance, Suzanne Brockman. And that's just been on my wish list. And so that's finally happening. I'm very excited about that. We have more Catherine Coulter coming up, the FBI series, which is sort of romance mystery. That'll be coming up in the first quarter of next year. And then she also did a novel this last year called The Final Cut, which was a lot of fun. It's called A Brit in the FBI, and there's some romance things happening there, which is pretty exciting. And so that'll be coming up in the fall. And then there's this little teaser I don't know if I can talk about yet. I can tell you it has nothing to do with The Edge or the Magic series, the Kate Daniels series, but it does have to do with Ilona and Gordon Andrews. And so you're just going to have to wait and see about that. But I think we have something on the horizon that could be a lot of fun and that I'm very excited about. So I'm crossing my fingers it all happens. So I'm going to leave you with that teaser.
I guarantee you we're crossing our fingers on what we think that might be as
well. Oh, okay. Oh, you got your, okay.
We think.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Renee. This has been an absolute delight, and I know our listeners will enjoy hearing your thoughts on actually many different aspects of narrating that we have covered today. So thanks again for joining us here at Audio Gals.
Oh, thank you so much, Leah. And I'm really excited about this week. And I hope all of your listeners, followers, et cetera, are as well. And just thank you all for all your support. I owe it to you all. It's because of all of your followers, because of you, that I am working forward with the new Kate Daniels series publishers. Because I have to tell you, I had no idea that they had changed. And Ilona and Gordon thought that I was, I only worked with one publisher. They didn't realize how it worked.
Oh.
And I got an email from Exie Sands that said, do you know there's this bit of an uprising about you not doing the next Kate Daniels book? And I said, what are you talking about? And I'm going to admit if I'm doing 4 to 6 audiobooks a month, you can imagine my social media skills are a little bit lacking. I didn't know. I just didn't know. And when she told me what was happening, I immediately got in touch with a few people, but it would have never happened without all of you. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that our voice possibly made some sort of difference somewhere.
Absolutely.
In addition to Brenda's piece on the Kate Daniels series that I mentioned earlier, we will be publishing a number of reviews of your romance titles this week. I believe we have 11 slated. On Wednesday, we'll feature an overview of your romance narrations, and I believe you'll be stopping in to answer our listeners' questions.
Yes, I would love to.
Okay. Well, we look so forward to all this week. I know it's going to be an exciting time for us at Audio Gals. Quite a few of our reviewers are big fans. So once again, thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Leah.